Well, there's some Chazayin Amud Beis by the Mishnah. Now that we went through the initial procedures of what they did with the grain, with the omer, the harvesting of it, the threshing and processing and all of it, the grinding it, so now we have an isoran of clean barley flour, geres flour, as the pasuk calls it in this week's parsha. So now, bolo the isoran, now the, whoever's dealing with the next steps of it comes to the isoran. As we've learned earlier in the Masechta, the mixing of the oil and the putting of lavona can be done by anybody, only the knitza and on has to be done by a kohen. So now the bolo is whoever is handling the preparation of the korban arm. So he puts on the appropriate amount of oil, one log of oil, and the appropriate amount of lavona, which we've learned earlier in the Masechta, is one kernot. So, Yotzak, he poured on the oil, Bolal, he mixed in the oil, as we've learned, we've touched on earlier, we're going to learn in more detail in the next parak, that the order is that you first put oil in the keli, then you put the flour, then you pour the rest of the oil on top of that, and then you mix it. So you put all those in. Now the Mishnah had mentioned you put the lavona. You obviously don't put the lavona before you mix it, because you need to have later on when you take the kohenets, there can't be any lavona in it, as we learned earlier in the Masechta. So it just means, in other words, that it just means that you in general you're putting the oil on the lavona, and more specifically then you're putting in, you're first pouring in the oil, and then you mix it up. And later on, actually, we're going to learn in the next perek that there are actually three different times during the preparation of a mincha where there has to be pouring in oil. Tosfos points out, I mean, really, it ought to have also mentioned that you salt it as well, because the korban omer has to be salted. But okay. Hainif, then they wave it, as we learned earlier, that the korban omer is one of the korbanos, so that has to be waved. The higish, he touches it to the southwest corner of the mizbeach. We learned that most menachos require that, and we learned in the previous parak from Pesukim that the omer is one of those that requires both hanofa and hagosha. Komatz, then he takes the koimitz, the hikdu, and he burns the koimitz on the mizbeach. Vashan nechal the koinim, and the rest of the omer is eaten by the koinim, just like any other mincha. Now that we're done with the Omer, the Mishnah says Mishkora ba'Omer. Once the Omer was offered, now we're going to learn in the next Mishnah that we're going to learn in the next Mishnah that Chodesh, the new grain crop of this year, becomes mutter only after the Omer was brought. We're going to talk about that in the next Mishnah and the Gemara about it, and over the next couple of dafim. So now, as soon as the Omer was Mishkora ba'Omer, as soon as the Omer was offered, Yotzin, people would be able to go out into the marketplaces in Yerushalayim, or Motzin Shuk Yerushalayim, Shul Malik Kemach v'Kolim. They would find that the marketplaces of Yerushalayim were full of flour and toasted grain. There are different, the gears actually we have in front of us in the Gemara is Kemach Koli, which means flour that's made from toasted grain. In the Gemara, we're going to talk about the possibility that it might be kemach v'koli, two different things, flour and toasted grain. Anyway, shaloi b'tzen chachamim divrei Reb Meir. Reb Meir says this is without the consent of the chachamim, because if they have it available for sale as soon as the omer is brought, necessarily that means they had to have harvested it before the omer. Now, we don't want that, says the mayor, because they might forget and eat some of it before, while they're harvesting, and then they're going to be over on the Issur of Chodesh before the Omer. You even have, after all, you have the halacha that when a worker is working in your field, you have to allow him to be able to eat on the job, and that includes, for example, to pick individual stalks of grain and eat them. So then a person who's, so when they're harvesting the grain, they might very well forget and, they might very well forget and eat from it. So therefore, the chachamim don't like this idea. So okay, the Tiferes Yisrael points out the chum figure. Look, mutav yoshoygim v'alyu mazidin. They're not going to listen anyhow. So the chum are not going to protest because nobody's going to listen anyhow. But nevertheless, it was without the consent of the chachamim. Give it a mayor. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Tzen chachamim. How you oisim? Rabbi Yehuda says it was with the consent of the chachamim. Rabbi Yehuda is not concerned about such a gzeira that they might come to eat him. Well, the Gemara asks, "Well, like Gozer of Yehuda, do you want also the Mechomine? You're telling me Rabbi Yehuda does not hold of such a gzera that if you're working with something that is also, you might come to eat from it." Vatnan, but Oraminu, what we learn in a Mishnah in Sachin that contradicts that. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, now you have, we're about to come up to Pesach, so it's a very timely thing. The first few Mishnahs in Sachin talk about Bedikas Chometz and about the timing of it and all. So, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Boidkin Ora Ba'aser, we do the Bedikas Chometz on the night going into the 14th of Nisan. And in the morning of the 14th, which the Gemara discusses there what it means, but it ends up saying that it means if you didn't do it the night before for whatever reason, then instead you do it the morning of the 14th, and then again you have another time when you can do it at the time of the at the time when you're supposed to be doing Biur Chometz. Meaning, though, but Rabbi Yehuda stops there. He says, if you didn't do B'dikas Chometz by that time, then don't do B'dikas Chometz at all. Why? Because Chometz is also to eat. From 2 hours before that. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda is concerned that after that, if you do B'dikas Chometz, you might come to eat some of the chometz you find. As we know, the whole idea behind B'dikas Chometz, well, one of the ideas behind it, is the famous expression of the Gemara, Shemi Yimtzim Gluskiyafa, he might find a nice loaf or roll of bread and forget that it's Pesach and eat it, and that's the whole reason, or that's one of the reasons why, to begin with, we have to do B'dikas Chometz and then make sure there's no Chometz to be found. Meaning maybe our Raisa would be able to be Mevatel, it's a whole discussion of Rishonim and Pesach. And anyway, the point is that Rabbi Yehuda is saying that once Chometz is also, don't do B'dikas Chometz of it anymore, and if you didn't do B'dikas Chometz by that point, tough luck. Then just be Mevatel it, and don't do B'dikas. The Chachamim, where's the Chachamim say? And the Chachamim against Rabbi Yehuda would usually be Rabbi Meir. Loi Bonet Kola, that no, if he didn't check on the night of the 14th or the morning then he can also check the Soichan Moyed, because the Mishnah says over there that you can check the Soichan Moyed. Now Rashi explains Hamoyed over here means the time when it's supposed to be burnt, meaning in other words, at the time of Bir Chometz, if you haven't done B'dikas Chometz yet, then do it then. And then they continue that you can even do it la'achar amoyed, meaning after the time, meaning on Pesach itself. That's one way of understanding it. Tosfos brings up the point though that no, that's not what it means. And in that case, why before did Rabbi Yehuda use the expression b'shasabir, and now the Chachamim are calling that same time b'soch amoyed? So rather, Tosfos explains that it means. That it means that means doing Pesach, and Achar HaMoed would be after Pesach. Now, after Pesach, what would you be doing a B'dikas Chometz for? Because Chometz Sh'avar Alav Pesach, if you have Chometz that you or Yid own during Pesach, and Rabbanon, it's also Vanah. So therefore, you need to do a B'dikas Chometz, if necessary, after Pesach, to find any of that unfound Chometz, and make sure to get rid of it, because it's also Vanah. Be that as it may, the point is that the Yehuda is holding that once the time of Biur Chometz comes, don't be doing B'dikas Chometz anymore, because you might come to eat from it. And the Chachamim in that Mishnah, namely, generally speaking, the Chachamim against Rabbi Yehuda, or Rabbi Meir, then would say that it doesn't matter and you can go ahead and do it. So it seems to be the opposite of their opinions. In our Mishnah, the Rabbi Meir doesn't like the fact that people are harvesting their grain before the Omer, because they might come to eat from it, and Rabbi Yehuda is not concerned about that. So, Omer Rabba, Shiny Chodesh. So Rabba says, it's different when it comes to Chodesh, there's a difference with Chometz. Because before the Omer, you can't in fact harvest it in the normal way. The only thing that Chachamim are going to allow you to is to pick individual stalks of grain by hand. Well then, so therefore, since you're only being allowed to do it by pulling out the grain, Zohuhu, therefore he's more likely to remember that it's Chodesh and he's not allowed to eat. Omale Abaya, but Abaya says to Rabba, Tenach Ktsira, fine, that explains how they would be able to harvest it, but between the harvesting and when we're saying that they would have flour and toasted grain, or flour of toasted grain in the marketplaces in Yerushalayim, there's a lot of other steps of processing that have to be done in between. So, Tchinevah Kodah Ma'ikla Memer, so what are you going to say as far as by the time you get to the grinding and the sifting it, then what? There's no shinui that you're going to remember not to eat from it. Now, I suppose, I mean, you know, on the face of it, the Gemara could have answered that maybe there is a kind of shinu. Sometimes we have, for example, that to a certain extent, for example, you're sifting flour on Yom Tov under certain conditions. When you're allowed to, then you make a shinu, for example, by doing it with the sieve upside down. But apparently, Abaye is not assuming, and the halacha isn't, that you need to do it that way as well. Well, so that's actually the Gemara's an answer. That is the Gemara's an answer, rather. So the Gemara says, holy kasha, that's not a problem either. You could say, as far as grinding, they're going to do it with a handmill instead of doing it. Normally, they do it with a large mill which is turned by a current of water. Instead, you're going to use a handmill, and that will also remind you not to eat from it. The sifting you can do, for example, with the sieve upside down, and that will also help you remember. Okay, the Gemara says fine. That takes care of, now there are two kinds of fields that are mentioned in many places in Shas. You have a regular field is irrigated by rainfall, and you don't need artificial irrigation for it, but then sometimes you have drier land, or sometimes certain crops need extra water as well, but here we're talking about wheat and barley and other grains, which don't need that much, but still, sometimes you have drier than normal land, and you need to artificially irrigate it. That kind of thing is called Beis HaSholchim. One point is the word sholach, shin lamed hey, in Lashon Kodesh means like weary and tired. So it refers to a land which is weary and then desperately wanting water, so to speak. So therefore we call a field like that Beit HaSholchin or Beit HaSholchin, since hey and ches often interchange. Anyway, so the Gemara says, Beis HaSholchin, so what about when it comes to a field that needs artificial irrigation? The shariach tzira, and the fact is you are allowed to harvest grain from it before the omer. It's not, as we learn later on in our parak. You are allowed to, even before the Omer, you are allowed to harvest the grain in a Beis HaSholchim that are in the valleys. So Rashi gives two reasons. First of all, Rashi says, because it's a dry field, so therefore, so you're, if you have to wait until after the Omer is brought and only then harvest it, then the grain may spoil altogether, and therefore, the Chum are not going to impose a Gzeira on you not to harvest it, where that's going to cause you a major financial loss. The other possibility, Rashi says, which he prefers, is that grain that comes from a Beis HaSholchim is low quality. We're going to learn later on in our parak. Well, first of all, we're going to learn in a later parak of On the Sefta that the grain from the Nochus is not supposed to come from such irrigated fields where the grain is poor quality. It's supposed to come from fields that are watered naturally by rain. So now you're not bringing the Omer, so you're not bringing the grain for the Omer from a field that's artificially irrigated anyway. And Rashi points out later in the parak, we're going to learn that in places where the grain anyway can't be used for korbanos, then you're allowed to harvest it. So therefore, you would in fact be able to harvest the Beis HaSholchim before the Omer is brought. But the fact is, you're still not allowed to eat from it. The fact is, the din of chodesh still applies to it. We learn later on in our parak. You are allowed to harvest before the Omer the Beis HaSholchim that are located in valleys. The reason why I mentioned specifically valleys is because those are the kind generally that would need artificial irrigation. But the Mishnah continues, you're not allowed to stack the grain, because stacking it is not something. If the idea is because the Chacham are allowing you, because you may lose it, because the grain may spoil, so fine, that's, you have to harvest it, but you don't necessarily have to make a pile of it before, you don't necessarily have to make a pile of it, it'll still last without you doing that until after the Omer is brought. So Tosfos has a long discussion over here about this point that we're saying over here that Rashi is saying. The point is that the grain from Beis HaSholchim is poor quality, and therefore you anyway can't bring the Omer from it. But Tosfos points out later we're going to learn actually that B'dieved, we're going to learn in the eighth parak of Amasechta, that B'dieved, if you did bring from such places, it is B'dieved kosher. Nevertheless, since lachatchila you're not supposed to, then we can call it mimakom she'ein atamevi, from a place where you can't anyway bring the omer. Atakotzer, you would be allowed to harvest, even though b'di'evit such rain would work for the omer. Tosfos points out another reason why to mention that for the valleys is because we're going to learn later on the better quality grain grows on mountainsides, on hillsides. So therefore, so now when it's a base of shofan in the valley, it has two strikes against it, against being brought for the oymen. And then Tosfos has some other discussions about various angles on that, about what kinds of grain can and can't be used for the omer, and how fast it grows, and what kind of hefsed there would be if you don't harvest it right away, etc. Now Tosfos brings up another point as well, which is, so we're saying that when it comes to, for example, Beis HaShochen, you're allowed to harvest it before the Omer, where again, one reason is because otherwise it might spoil, but you can't stack it because it's not going to spoil without that. Well, then how is it in our Mishnah that Rabbi Yehuda is saying that they could even go so far as making Kemach Koli or Kemach V'Koli, that's also, it's not going to spoil before that. So why would Rabbi Yehuda be allowing it? So Tosfos answers because of the oiler regel. You do want to have a supply of food available for the oiler regel. So then you do want to be able to allow them, according to Rabbi Yehuda, to even go so far as actually making the flour or the toasted grain or whatever, so that the oiler regel have what to eat. So then Tosfos goes on and says, well, in that case, then why did Gemara bring up the question that it seems to contradict the matter of chometz? then you have an obvious reason to say that there's a difference. And the reason is that we're saying that, look, if Rabbi Yehuda allows you to even prepare kemach and koli before the omer is offered and not worry about eating it because of the olo regal, the same way Rabbi Yehuda ought to say that you should be able to do b'dikas chometz during yom tov after the sixth hour on Erev Pesach, or doing Yom Tov if necessary, because look, you have a mitzvah, midrabanan, of B'dikas Chametz. So that would be the Gemara's question. So my Ikalameima, then what are you going to say? When it comes to harvesting the Beis HaShochen in the valleys, then we're saying you're allowed to harvest it normally. Now, why isn't Rabbi Yehuda concerned that people might come to eat from it, which after all, it is also until the Omer is brought on the grounds of Chodesh? So that answer doesn't work. So far we had said Rabbah had given the answer and Abaya had given more details of it, that when it comes to the whole processing of the grain, in every stage of it, we can do some kind of shinui. But now the Gemara is pointing out that there's a case where you don't have to do a shinui and yet you're still allowed to do it. Abaya has a different use. Chodesh bodol minei. Chodesh people stay away from because, as it is, you haven't yet eaten it all year round. So you're used to the idea that this is off limits until a certain time. Chometz, like bodol minei, but chometz a person doesn't tend to stay away from because after all it was mutter up until now, so it's hard for a person to get himself into a new mindset that now it's aser. So therefore, when it comes to working with chodesh, a person has it already in his head, you know what, I can't eat from it until I haven't eaten from it yet, and I'm going to have to wait to eat from it until the omer is brought. But with chometz, where up until now he was eating it, no problem, then if you allow him, according to Rabbi Yehuda, to do b'dikas chometz after the sixth hour on Erev Pesach, or during the rest of Erev Pesach, or on Yom Tov itself, then he may come to eat it because he's been used to eating it all the rest of the year. Well, Omer Rava, did Rabbi Yehuda, Kasha, did Rabbanon, Kasha? Well, what did that leave us with? Then, do you think that there was only a contradiction between Rabbi Yehuda's opinions and not between the Chachamim's opinions? Your answer, Abaya, answers Rabbi Yehuda very nicely. But how does that explain the Chachamim, which is the other way around? They allowed you to do B'dikas Chometz on the afternoon of Erev Pesach, and during the rest of Pesach if need be, but they're not allowing you, the mayor in our Mishnah, which represents the Chachamim, is not allowing you to harvest before is not allowing you to harvest, let alone process the grain and make flour before the Omer. And if they're doing it, then the mayor says it's Chaloy Bitzon Chachamim, it's without the consent of the Chachamim. So how do you reconcile those things? Ella Omer Rava. So Rava says rather as follows: Did Rabbi Yehuda? Did Rabbi Yehuda like Kasha Kedushaninan? Fine, Rabbi Yehuda, we can answer as we said. There's a difference. He's more concerned about chametz, which you're used to eating all year round, rather than chodesh, which you haven't yet gotten into the mindset that it's allowed to be eaten. Meanwhile, says Rava, as far as the Chachamim, there's no contradiction either, because when it comes to Bedikas Chametz, Hu Atzma Mechazer Olav L'Sorfer. The whole point you're doing Bedikas Chametz is in order to burn it. You want to find every bit of Chametz you can find and burn it. Meichel Ochel Minei. Do you think under those conditions a person is going to think to himself, you know what, let me eat it? No. So therefore, Sir Rav Meir says, there's no reason to worry about it when it comes to Chametz. As opposed to the Oimer, you're not coming to burn it, you're coming to process it as regular grains, and therefore you might forget yourself and eat from it. Rav Ashi, Omar Rav Ashi gives another answer. Rav Yehuda like Kasha, Kemach Kolin Tzman. The answer is, Rav Ashi says another answer, because in our Mishnah, we said Kemach Kolin. So again, you have the different Gersois, whether it's supposed to be Kemach Kolin or Kemach Vikoli. So those things, kemach, flour, and koli, toasted grain, is not roi to eat. It's not something that's yet edible. So therefore, says Rav Ashi, that's why, according to the Yehuda, they're allowed to be selling it in the marketplaces of Yerushalayim before the Omer. They start selling it only after the Omer is brought, but they process it, they prepare it before that, because Rav Ashi is saying it's anyway not edible, and therefore there's no concern. So there are quite a bit of different explanations and gersois among the Rishonim and among the Achronim. What exactly is the correct gersa over here? Again, is it kemach koli? We're talking about one item, flour made from toasted grain, or are we talking about two different things? Kemach, flour, which you don't eat by itself, and koli, toasted grain. So Rashi says that it means things, de'en ru'u yin la'achila, things that are not things in plural, that are not roi to eat, implying that Rashi is understanding that it's kemach v'koli. So, in fact, the Shittim HaKubetzes adds the word koli into Rashi and says that it's two things, kemach koli and kemach koli, plain flour and flour made from toasted grain. And then there are different other explanations. Rabbi Nagershim, in fact, brings both of them over here and says, listen, you know what? Actually, koli, toasted grain, is something edible. In fact, we find that the Gemara mentions in Pesachim that they would give it as a snack to kids on Erev Pesach to keep them up for the Seder. So it should really be kemach koli, according to that. And there's different ways of understanding what exactly there can be different kinds of koli and different kinds of there are different kinds of roasted or toasted grain depending how it was processed. So then sometimes it can be edible and sometimes not. So here we're really talking about Rav Ashi is saying the Gemara is saying that you can prepare the ones that are not edible and be able to eat those. And then you're not going to eat those, and therefore you can be preparing them before the Omer is brought, and there's no problem that you might accidentally eat from it. However, the Gemara says, "V'hod Rav Ashi Barusigi." However, what Rav Ashi is saying is Barusa. Barusa comes from the word bar, which means outside. So the Oroch explains that it's a way of the Gemara rejecting altogether what he's saying, but not blatantly saying it's wrong, but rather saying, you know what, this kind of explanation belongs outside the Beis Medrash. It's not something that belongs among the actual Chachamim discussing it in the Beis Medrash. There are other places in Shas where instead of Barusa, the Gemara sometimes dismisses a statement from Rav Ashi and sometimes other Amoraim with the word bedusa, which comes from the word from the word bodra, which then literally means a fiction. So then in that case, the Foshim explained that the gersa bedusa with a dalet would mean, for example, that somebody made this idea up and attributed it to Rav Ashi. In any case, so the Gemara is rejecting this idea of Rav Ashi's, because Tainach Mikoli Ve'elach, that works once the grain has been toasted, then you can argue that now it's not edible. Ad Koli Ma'iklamema, what about before it's toasted? When it's raw grain, you still might eat it. You're going to answer, as we answered before, that when it comes to harvesting the grain, you're allowed to only pick it by hand and not cut it with a sickle, and that way we'll remember. Like Rabbi said, the problem with that is, what about a Beis HaSholchan? Whereas we said you are in fact allowed to you are in fact allowed to harvest it before the Omer for either of the two reasons Rashi had mentioned, either because the grain might spoil before you harvest it, or because you anyway can't bring the Omer from it. So then what? So then it wouldn't work. Then you're allowing him to harvest it in the normal way. Rav Ashi's answer is only going to work after you took that grain and toasted it. Then it won't be edible. But in between from the harvest until the toasting, you might accidentally eat from it. And therefore, so that answer to say that Rabbi Yehuda is not concerned about that won't work. So necessarily, this explanation of Rav Ashi must be berusa. It must be something which doesn't belong in the Beis Medrash. If they want to discuss it, it can be outside the Beis Medrash among the lesser Talmid Chachamim. There's talked about before, there's a statement from Rabbi Levi Yitzchak in a couple of places in his writings that his father, that points out that even the Gemara has dismissed it as Barusa. Nevertheless, it is still part of Torah. We have it in the Gemara here. So what it means is, all of Torah, as we know, is Chachmasir, Ritzonah, Shalach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's all Hashem's wisdom and will. So then, in that case, you have this particular thing. It's also part of Hashem's Chachmasir, Ritzonah, but the same Chachmasir, Ritzonah also determines that it's Barusa, that it's not something that belongs as part of an actual discussion in Halacha, because we can shrug it up and show that it doesn't fit with the rationales of Halacha as Hashem gave it to us to understand. So it's both. It's Hashem's Chachma, but it's also the same Chachma says, don't use it l'maisa. In any case, so there's the answers. When it comes to, so with Rabbi Yehuda, we're left with so we tried the answer that Rabbi Yehuda is allowing it only with a shinui. We said that's the work. So the answer is rather that Rabbi Yehuda, it makes a distinction between chametz, which you're eating all year round, versus chodesh, which you haven't gotten used to eating. And Rabbi Meir, meanwhile, would say that in general we are going to be gozer when you're working with something that you're not allowed to eat, that you shouldn't, because you might come to eat from it. But by beer chametz is an exception. By bidikas chametz is an exception, because you're looking for it dafke in order to burn it, and therefore there's much less of a chance that a person is going to accidentally eat from it. Mishnah says, Misha Korav HaOmer, once the Omer was offered, Hutar Chodesh Miyad. Right away, Chodesh becomes Motu to eat. The new grain crop from this year, which now, over the next couple of dafim, the Gemara is going to be discussing the many ins and outs of that game. Haruchoikim, people who are far away from the Beis Mikdash, Mutorin, and they don't know exactly what time the Omer was brought, Mutorin Mechatsoise Yimalahalon. They're allowed to eat Chodesh from. They were allowed to eat Chodesh from Chatzos on the 16th of Nisan and onward, because as the Mishnah is going to go on to say, the Beis Din always make sure. Beis Din will always see to it that the Omer is brought before that. So the Sfasemis, by the way, points out an interesting nuance when you say Hotah Chodesh Miyad. Why do you have to add that word Miyad? He says, you know, together with the Omer, we've learned before, you have a number of Korbanos that go with it. You have seven Kvasim, and you have an Ayil, and so forth, and nevertheless, though the point is that you bring the Omer right away. Chodesh becomes Mutter even before the rest of those animals are brought as a Korban. So in Yerushalayim, where you know when the Omer was brought, then you're allowed to eat it as soon as the Omer is brought. And in other places, you have to wait till Chatzos, but you never have to wait until after Chatzos, as the Gemara is going to go on to explain, as the Mishnah is going to go on to explain. So the Mishnah continues, Mishachorah Beis HaMikdash, after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Hiskim Rabbi Yechim Ben Zakkai, Meir Takona, Sheyehayim Henef Kulay Osef, that the day on which the Omer was supposed to have been waived, namely the 16th of Nisan, the whole day should be Osef, and you can't eat Chodesh until that evening. Omer Rabbi Yehuda, but Rabbi Yehuda says, what are you telling me that's a takana of Rabbi Yechim Ben Zakkai? V'alei minatoro hu osir. Isn't that also the whole day when there's no Beis HaMikdash? Minatoro. Shenema ad etzem hayom hazeh, because the pasuk says, until this very day. Etzem hayom hazeh means the actual day itself, and the Gemara is going to explain that this pasuk is referring to when there's no Beis HaMikdash, and he learns, as the Gemara is going to say, ad v'ad b'chlal. It means you're not allowed to eat up to and including the day, the etzem hayom hazeh, the 16th of Nisan. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda argues, it's not something you have to say to Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai, made a takana, it's actually made a Torah, it's that way. Now we're going to discuss in the Gemara over here the different opinions on the subject. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah and in Sukkah, mentions, in both places, it also mentions the Sakana of Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. In both places, it mentions, in Rosh Hashanah, it mentions back to back a number of Sakanas that Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai made after the Churban. Altogether, the Gemara says there in Rosh Hashanah, he made 9 such Sakanas about the new reality that Jewish people are living with without a Beis Mikdash. In Sukkah, it mentions that he made a Sakana to take the lulav all 7 days everywhere in the world, and that Yom Henef Kulay Aser, this din that Chodesh is also the whole day of the 16th of Nisan. Why those two are placed together, Dodo Sereshonim gives an interesting idea. He says, look, you know, when would Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai have had to promulgate these dinim? Obviously, as soon as possible. The Beis Mikdash was destroyed and then you didn't have communications. It was slow in those days. When you have a chance to send out a shliach with something, you're going to want to send with them as much information as possible. So therefore, we can assume the Beis Mikdash was destroyed on Tisha B'Av. So therefore, we can assume that as soon as possible after that, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai and his Beis Din got together and decided from now on we need to make a takana that we should take lulav everywhere in the world for 7 days. And while we're at it, let's also make a takana let's also take the opportunity to inform people in advance now with the same messengers that you should know. Come next Pesach, if the Beis Mikdash isn't built, Yom Henef Kulay Aser, the day of the waving of the Omer, is going to be completely Aser to eat Chodesh. So therefore, he says that's why the Mishnah in Sukkah puts them together. And then again, in Masechta Rosh Hashanah, when it deals with back to back with a bunch of Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai's takanas, then it mentions them together as well. In any case, Rabbi Yehuda is arguing that it's not really a takana because it's actually that way midaraisa. So now, both in Rosh Hashanah and in Sukkah, the Gemara discusses a long explanation for why, according to the opinion that it was in fact a takana, why would he have done that? If the Gemara discusses, we're going to learn in all Gemara over here that there are opinions that actually Chodesh becomes mutter as soon as the sun rises on the morning of the 16th. So why instead would Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai have to ask for it the entire day? So the Gemara discusses in those places that conceivably the Beis Mikdash could be built on the 15th of Nisan or even on the 16th of Nisan in the morning, and then the bringing of the Omer is going to be very, very delayed, and they may not be able to bring it until the end of the day. So therefore, because of that, then is a reason that Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai would be a reason that Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai made a takana that it should be also the entire day, just in case something like that happened. However, then the Gemara ends up explaining, as we're going to see in all Gemara over here, that in fact, it is something daraisa. It's not a new takana. And when we say over here hiskin, we mean that he established, he informed everybody. You should know the din daraisa is that when there's no Beis Mikdash, we can't eat Chodesh the entire day. So in other words, the Gemara explains in those places that Rabbi Yehuda is not really arguing with the Tanakhama. The Tanakhama had said Hiskin, and Rabbi Yehuda assumed that Hiskin means as usual. It means he made a new Takana, Dirabanan, but the explanation is that no, what it means is Dorash the Hiskin, Daushin the Psukim appropriately, and based on that Hiskin, he established for everybody that from now on, this is how it's going to have to be. The Mishnah continues. Why indeed are the people far away from Yerushalayim able to eat when there is an Omer brought? They're able to eat Chodesh after Chatzos. The reason is they shein yodin, shein Beis Din mefa'atzim bo. They know that Beis Din won't be lazy about it. Beis Din is going to make sure that it gets done in the morning. Unless, again, as the Gemara mentions in those places, the unique case, if the Beis Mikdash is built on the 15th or 16th of Nisan, the Gemara discusses over there, actually, could it be on the 15th? We're not allowed to build the Beis Mikdash. On Yom Tov. But Rashi points out in both those places, the third Beis Mikdash is going to come down Min HaShemayim, and therefore it could very well be on the 15th. But in a case like that, then fine, you may have that the schedule is shaken up, and the Omer only gets brought later in the day. But ordinarily, as long as the Beis Mikdash is standing, Beis Din would always see to it that it happens before Chatzos. And therefore, once Chatzos, Yerushalayim time comes, then everybody else knows that they can eat from Chodesh when there is a Beis Mikdash and when there is a Korban Omer. So the Gemara starts off. Rabu Shmuel Dami Tavayu. Rab and Shmuel both say, Bizman Shabis Mikdash Kayim, when the Beis Mikdash is standing, Omer Matir, then the Omer, the bringing of the Omer, is what makes it allowed to eat Chodesh. Or Bizman Shein Beis Mikdash Kayim, but they argue when the Beis Mikdash is not standing, Hey of Mizrach Matir, as soon as it gets light in the morning on the 16th, then already you're allowed to eat. So on Netzachama, then you would be allowed to eat Chodesh. So, my timer. Now, why is that? Why would they say that? Tirei Kroi Ksivi. Because they say, look, you have two Ksukim as far as the Omer. Ksiv ad Yoim HaViyachem. And Yoim is not in the Pasuk. One Pasuk is ad HaViyachem. Until you bring the Omer, meaning until the Omer is actually brought, you can't eat Chodesh. Uchtiv. But then the Pasuk also says, it's both in the same Pasuk, in fact. The Pasuk says, ad Etzem HaYim HaZeh, until this very day. Now, they're taking Etzem HaYim to be, I mean the beginning of the day, until the day appears, until you can see the essence, the reality of the day, which means as soon as the sun rises on in the east. And Rashi says they hold, Rav and Shmuel hold ad v'loy ad v'chlal, the pasuk is telling you that you can't eat chadash up to, but not including etzem hayom hazeh. So as soon as etzem hayom hazeh comes, the morning of the 16th, then you would be allowed to eat chadash. So, in other words, but you have another pasuk, that says that you have to that it's only until you bring the korban oimer. So hokaytzan, how do you reconcile it? Are you not allowed to eat chadash until the oimer is actually offered, or are you allowed to first thing in the morning? So hokaytzan can bisman shabes mitzvah kaim, can bisman shein bisman mitzvah kaim. So the two psukim are talking about respectively when there is and there isn't a bisman mitzvah. When there is a bisman mitzvah, you have to wait till the oimer is actually offered, and when there's no bisman mitzvah, then Rav and Shmuel are saying you would be allowed to eat chodesh right away first thing in the morning. On the other hand, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish both say no. Afilu b'zman shebeis mekdash kayim heyo mizrach matir. They say never mind when the beis mekdash is destroyed. Then yes, you're allowed to eat it first thing in the morning. But no, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish say even when the beis mekdash is standing, you would actually be able to eat chadash from the morning of the 16th. And even now we're going to learn later on in the Masechta that before the Omer is brought, you're also not allowed to bring menachas from this year's grain, because it's also for you to eat. It's also to bring as a korban. After that, you shouldn't until Shavuos. But b'di'evad, you brought from Chodesh after the Omer and before Shavuos. B'di'evad, you yotze. So then the Shetam HaKobetzes explains that then that din would apply to if, let's say, you used Chodesh for a korban earlier, for a mincha earlier, on the 14th or 15th of Nisan, then it would be possible. But on the 16th, then already it would be allowed even before the Omer, according to Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. So the Gemara says, ad haviyachem, what about the pasuk that says, until you bring the Omer? And the Gemara answers, mitzvah. Fine, that doesn't mean that you're absolutely required to. It means there's a mitzvah to do it that way, but the idea that if you didn't do it that way, if you brought the korban or you ate it before the Omer, then you would, then you'd just be over on that esser, but you're not over on a lois esser. So Tosfos discusses that and asks some questions on it based on, in that case, Gemara is going to ask then in that case what's the reason to make a Zera. So fine, but even if there's an Isur Daraisa, unless there's a lav involved, Tosfos says the Gemara is going to assume that there's no reason for a Takana, which is what the Gemara is going to ask then. That in that case, what's the reason behind Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai's Takana? So the Gemara says, but what about Mishkorav Oimer Hutra Achodesh Miyad? What about the Mishnah? The Mishnah says that the Mishnah says that as soon as the Oimer was brought, then you're allowed to eat Chodesh, implying but not before that. And the answer is again a mitzvah. It means there's a mitzvah. It means if a person eats Chodesh before that, he's over on a mitzvah saseh, but he's not over on a mitzvah loy saseh. Only if he does that on the days before, on the 14th or 15th of Nisan. Okay, the Gemara says, what about ha'omer hayamata b'mdina? The next Mishnah says that the Omer made it, once he brought the Omer, it made it permissible to use chodesh, to eat chodesh anywhere else in the country, or shtei alechem b'mikdash, the shtei alechem on Shavuos made it l'chatchila allowed to use this year's new grain crop of chodesh for menachas. So again, you see that before the Omer, you couldn't eat it. And again, the Gemara answers a point to Rabbi Yochanan. Rav Shlakish would mean a mitzvah. It's only a mitzvah, but there's no issur lav involved if you didn't eat before it. Okay, the Gemara says, but what about all Mishnah had said? Mishachora beis hamikdash, when the beis hamikdash was destroyed, hiskin Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, sheyehem henef kolay osir. That Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai made a takana that the entire day of waving the entire 16th of Nisan should be osir to eat chodesh. Now, my timer. Now, why would he have made that takana? Because we have to always expect that very quickly the Beis HaMikdash can be built and we'll bring a korban omer. The Yomu, when people are going to say on the 16th of Nisan, Ashtakad, last year when there was no Beis Hamikdash, when last year Milo Achalnu, the Hay of Mizrach, didn't we eat from this new grain right away when it was light in the morning, right away on from Netzachama on the 16th of Nisan, Hashtanami Nechol. Now also we can also eat from it, Velo Yodi, and they're not going to realize the difference. That Ashtakad, like Hava Omer, last year there was no Korban Omer. And therefore, when it became, therefore, when the sun rose in the east in the morning, then right away it made the right away it made Chodesh Mutter. The hash of the Ika Omer, but now there's a Bis Nefesh and there's an Omer, then Omer Matter, then it's the Omer that makes it Mutter, and therefore Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai had to make a Sechana. So now, how does that prove? How does that prove against Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish that there's only a mitzvah saseh involved in eating before the Omer and not a mitzvah slice saseh? The Isak of that mitzvah, if you're going to tell me it's just a matter of a mitzvah, Mishum mitzvah leikum v'ligzer, would that be a basis for Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai to make a gzera not to eat the whole day? Worst comes to worst, a person does eat from it, he's only over on an assay. That's not a strong enough reason to make a gzera. A gzera the Chachamim generally make when there's a danger that somebody is going to be over on a loises. And Tosfos points out that we do find in Beitza, for example, that even sometimes we find these surim d'rabbanan, then there'll still be a gzera in that case again because mehevi yibana hamikdash. So Tosfos wonders then still. So why are we saying that if it's only also daraisa, it wouldn't be if it's only a problem of a lav and there's only an essay and there's no lav involved, then Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai wouldn't have made a takana about it. But Tosfos actually earlier in the Masechta explains that actually it may mean that when we say mitzvah over here, when we're saying over and over in the Gemara here, the mitzvah, it may mean you're not even over on an essay if you eat it from the Chodesh before the Omer, according to Rabbi Yochanan Mishloch. It just means you haven't done a mitzvah in a muvchel. So according to that, there would certainly be no reason for Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai to make Tzakana to ban Chodosh the entire day because of that. So doesn't that show the fact that Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai had to make a Tzakana on the face of it demonstrates not like Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, that in fact it is also to eat it until it is also with a lav to eat it until the Omer is brought, and therefore since you have the consideration that when there's no Omer, then as Rav and Shmuel are saying, you're allowed to eat it first thing in the morning, we don't want people to think that after the Bis Hamikdash is built and there's an Omer, that they should also be able to eat it first thing in the morning, and therefore Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai made a Tzakana, and why he made it for the whole day, that you have those Gemaras in Rosh Hashanah and in Sukkah that explain the possibility that the Bais HaMikdash may be built all of a sudden on the 15th or 16th of Nisan, and then the Omer will in fact be delayed even after Chatzos because of that situation. The Gemara answers, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai b'shittas Rabbi Yehuda Amra. In fact, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai's Tzakana is following the logic of Rabbi Yehuda. So nothing to do with Shemi Yibonan HaMikdash, but rather, as Rabbi Yehuda had said in the Mishnah, that Minat Torah, when there's no Bais HaMikdash, it's also the entire day, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai follows that Shita. We don't mean, obviously, Rabbi Yehuda is a couple of generations after Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, but we mean, in other words, the opinion that later on, Rabbi Yehuda propounded and said in our Mishnah was known before that, and Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai is following that when he makes his Tzakana. Namely, Dama Minat Torah also. Rabbi Yehuda had said in our Mishnah, that it's also on the 16th Minat Torah when there's no Omer. Shenema, because the Pasuk says ad etzema yemazeh, until this very day, meaning ad itzumei shozoim, until the essence of the day, the entire day is called itzumei shozoim, because Tavar, and Rabbi Yehuda says ad va'ad b'chlal, that the word ad means va'ad b'chlal, means including. So when the Torah tells you that you're not allowed to eat, ad etzema yemazeh, it means up to and including etzema yemazeh, which would mean the entire day. Well, so in other words, you have a machlokas of what Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, what was the basis of his tefana. So one way of looking at it would be that Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai is saying that Minat Torah, you can't eat it the entire 16th of Nisan when there's no Beis HaMikdash. But that's Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. The other Chachamim don't necessarily have to agree with that. According to them, it may be mitzvah alma, it may be only an essay, or according to Tosfos earlier in the Masechta, maybe not even an essay, maybe just a mitzvah and a muvcha to do it like that. So Tosfos, in fact, points out that those Gemaras in Russia, that Gemara in Sukkah and in Rosh Hashanah, that talk further about this and talk about what Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai's motivation was and why it's not Mutter after Chatzos, and was saying because it might have been built at night or close to Shvi'as HaChama or whatever. So now, so Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, Tosfos points out, won't be able to hold like that explanation. They're going to have to say that Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai holds that it's also the entire game in Atorah, and the other Chachamim just agree with him. So the question is, when we solve a lakama say, the question is, does Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai in fact hold like Rabbi Yehuda that it's awesome in Atorah the whole day? Well, Michlag Poligalei, on the face of it, there's a machlokas. The Tanan, we said in the Mishnah, Mishachor Abismikash, Hiskin of Yochanan Zakkai, Shiheyim Henef Kolayasr, after the Abismikash was destroyed, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai made a takana that the entire day of waving, the entire 16th of Nisan is Asr, and the Mishnah continues, Omer Rabbi Yehuda says to the Tana Kama, Valim in Atorah Asr, what do you mean that's a takana of Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai? It's also the whole day in Torah, when there's no bismikdash, dichtiv at etzem ayim azeh, because the pasuk says ad etzem ayim azeh, and as we said, he holds that ad means ad b'chlal, means including the 16th itself. So then, clearly, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai holds that the Tanakama at least understands Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai to be making a takana d'rabbanon, and Rabbi Yehuda understands that it's a din d'oraisa, and there's no reason for a takana. And the answer is the Gemara says Rabbi Yehuda hu d'katoy. Rabbi Yehuda misunderstood what Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai had done. Who suffered Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai and did a bonan cover? He thinks when Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai announced the takana, it means it's a takana d'rabbanan, like takanas usually are. The loyhi, but in fact, in this case, it's not like that. Midarais takama, in this case, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai is saying that this is how it is darais. So he says, "Vahal hiskin katani," but it uses the expression hiskin, which is the word that's used for making a takana d'rabbanan. The answer is my hiskin dorash lehiskin. The word hiskin over here means that he darshin the psukim. He darshin ad etzemayim azeh. We have to understand what etzemayim azeh means. It means the day, and it means the day as a whole. And ad means ad b'chlal. It means up to and including that day. And to realize that pasuk is referring to when there's no beis hamikdash. And the hiskin, and based on that, he made his takana. So you're right. It's not an actual takana d'rabbanan like most of his takanas. It's a din. He's announcing to everybody there is a din d'oraisa that's relevant in this connection, where until now maybe most people hadn't known of it, because after all the Beis HaMikdash has been standing for hundreds of years and people have gotten used to the idea that you can eat chodosh as soon as the omer is brought. So now Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai has to inform them that no, the din d'oraisa is different, and he publicized that. So that's called dorash v'hiskin. So therefore, so it means, in other words, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai and Rabbi Yehuda do in fact agree, according to that way of looking at it, that it is in fact d'oraisa, that you can't eat chodosh until the end of the 16th of Nisan, when there's no omer. Meanwhile though, Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, who are saying that you could eat in the morning, they would hold the other Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai and say that you could in fact eat it first thing in the morning, and they say even when there is an omer, it's only a mitzvah saseh, even a mitzvah, or even just a mitzvah and a mokher, to not do that. Okay, let's talk more about this din of chodosh. So now, what about in chutz la'aretz? So first of all, there is, by the way, an enormous what we're going to have in the Gemara over here, a discussion of whether chodosh applies in chutz la'aretz d'oraisa or only d'rabbanan. On the one hand, you can't bring grain for the omer from chutz la'aretz. Later on in the sefer, we're going to learn clearly that unlike other menachos, where you can bring the grain for it from anywhere in the world, the omer and the shtei alechem specifically have to come from Eretz Yisrael. But nevertheless, though, maybe the din of chodosh still applies to grain grown outside Eretz Yisrael as well, and the Gemara is going to discuss over here whether it's d'oraisa or d'rabbanan. But now, on top of that, but within that, by the way, you also have a machlokas apostim. If we say that it does apply, if it applies in chutz la'aretz, whether d'oraisa or d'rabbanan, does it apply also to grain that was grown in chutz la'aretz by goyim? So there's quite a bit of machlokas rishonim and achronim about that. In particular, it's known the Bach held that if it's grown by goyim and in chutz la'aretz, then it's potter from chodosh. We find actually during the times of rishonim, many people were makel in chodosh, and the poskim struggled to find a heter for it. One point they brought to bear is maybe there's a matter of maybe bittul can factor in over here. We don't know how much of the grain is new and how much is old, etc. But in any case, the Bach came up with a chiddush that chodosh does not apply to grain grown by goyim outside of Eretz Yisrael. So famously, the Baal Shem Tov one time said that talked about the greatness of the Bach and said we can be soimach on him as far as that. And he asked them to bring him beer that was brewed from chodesh grains, and he drank it. And so that's the basis. It's on the basis of that many Hasidim, including the minhag of Chabad, is to be natal in Chodosh in Chutz La'aretz when the grain was grown by goyim. You have first of all, in Eretz Yisrael there's no such heter, but second of all, though also, and then you have in the general Jewish world, you have many people who are careful with that, which is why you'll have many products that are labeled yoshan to be choshish for the opinions that it does in fact apply in Chutz La'aretz, even the grain grown by goyim. Okay. But now, on top of all of that, we have another point in Chutz La'aretz. We have Seika D'Yomer. The reason why we have 2 days of most Yom Tovim is because in principle, we have a doubt. What day is today the 15th of Nisan, or is tomorrow the 15th of Nisan, and then so forth with the other Yom Tovim. So, the Gemara says, Rav Papa and Rav Huna Ben Rav Yeshua, Achli Chodesh Bo'uta D'Shitzar Nagi Shivzar. Rav Papa and Rav Huna Ben Rav Yeshua, who lived in Babel, they would eat Chodosh on the night after the 16th of Nisan going into the 17th. Amri, Kasabri, because they hold Chodosh for Chutz La'aretz Dirabbanan. The whole issue of Chodosh in Chutz La'aretz they held is only Dirabbanan. Or the Sfeika, like Hashin, and they said we're not concerned about the Sfeika D'Yoma, so therefore we can assume that today was in fact truly the 16th of Nisan, and therefore that tonight already we're allowed to eat from Chodosh. On the other hand, Rabbanan's great Rav Ashi, actually would suffer the shivsar. The Chachamim of the yeshiva of Rav Ashi would eat only in the morning of the 17th of Nisan. They also lived in Chutz La'aretz in Babel. Why? Because Sabi Chodesh for Chutz La'aretz Daraisa. They held that Chodesh is also Daraisa in Chutz La'aretz. So in other words, you can't bring the Omer from grain that was grown outside Eretz Yisrael, but nevertheless, Chodosh, according to them, is also Daraisa, it is also Daraisa everywhere in the world. Tosfos points out it's Machlok, the Tanoim in Kedushim. Anyway, so the Chacham of the Yeshiva of Rav Ashi held that it is also Daraisa in the Chutz La'aretz. However, the Rav Yechim and Zakkai did a Bonan Kamar. However, they held that Rav Yechim and Zakkai's Sakana was based on a consideration did a Bonan, not like we said before, not like Rav Yehuda that we said before, who holds that it's Daraisa, because according to him, the entire 16th is also Daraisa, but rather, that Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai is saying, Midaraisa would have been Mutter first thing in the morning, like we said before, that Rav and Shmuel and Rabbi Yechim and Rish Lakish were holding, but then he made it to Tekonah D'Rabbanan for the reason we were talking about before, because if the Beis Hamikdash is suddenly built on the night, or on the night going into the 16th, or even on the morning of the 16th, they might not be able, well, not on the morning, if it's the morning already, then it would be Mutzer from Hay or Mizrach, or whatever, it might be built close to the, might be built right close to the evening, it might be built that night, might come down, as Rashi points out, it'll come down Min HaShemayim, so for that particular possibility, therefore, according to that, is why he had to ban Chodesh the entire 16th. Well, they held that's only Dirabbanan. They held he was misfaken that Takana only as far as the Yom Honef itself, only the 16th, was Sfeika like Takin, but he didn't make the Takana as far as the Suffolk, as far as the 17th, when Chutz La'aretz was only a Suffolk, the 16th. Therefore, in that case, we can go Minat Torah and say that as soon as the sun rises in the morning of the 17th, fine, the 17th might actually be the 16th, but even if it's the 16th, fine, the Daraisa, according to that way of looking at it, you would already be able to eat from it, and therefore they held you allowed to eat from it the morning of the 17th. There was an interesting point, by the way, that we've shown him bring up over here. Why would we say we're not concerned about a suffix? Why not say, we often say that a dover shiyesh le matirin, that when you have something which is able to be mutter very soon, namely here, as soon as the 16th is over, or as soon as the omer is brought, or whatever, it'll become mutter. So why shouldn't we say that a suffix like that is that we should be concerned about a suffix like that because dover shiyesh le matirin. So Mordechai in a note at the beginning of Beitza brings a couple of possibilities. First of all, this isn't when we talk about a dover shiyesh l'matirin, we mean something where, for example, an egg that was laid on Yom Tov, and as soon as Yom Tov is over, it'll become mutter. But here, this is something that's going to be, it's an inherent suffix about the day every year, so therefore it's not considered dover shiyesh l'matirin. And therefore we can be makel with it. And another answer the Mordechai gives over there is that, look, nowadays we do in fact know when Rosh Chodesh is and when the Yom Tovim are. The fact that we keep the second day is only Minig Abaseinu B'Yadeinu, so therefore it's not really considered Bas Safek, and therefore when it comes to a Dover Shiesh L'Matirin, we, even a Dover Shiesh L'Matirin, we can be make on it. So again, based on that consideration, the Chachamim of the Yeshiva of Rav Ashi said, fine, today the 17th might actually be the 16th, but Daraisa, you would be allowed to eat on the morning of the 16th when there's no Omer, only Dirabbanan, because of Rav Yechon and Zakkai's Takana, can you not eat the whole day? Very well, they held that applies only to the actual 16th, not to the 17th, which is only a Suffolk of 16th. Okay. Then the Gemara continues, though, Omer Ravina, but Ravina says, Omer Li'ein, my mother told me, Ravina's father had passed away when he was a boy, so his mother used to have to tell him, and we find in a few places in Shas where she would tell him his father evidently was a distinguished Talmid Chacham in his own right, so his mother would tell him what his father used to do, his father's minhagim. So she tells him, Avucha lo yhava ochel chadash ela ba'urta b'shiv samnagi t'manesa. Your father would not eat chadash until the night after the 17th, going into the 18th. The Savolak of Yehuda, first of all, he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that means Torah, it's also the whole 16th. And on top of that, he's choshish for the suffering, for the sake of the Yomer, that the 17th in Chutzlaret might really be the 16th, and therefore he would avoid Chodesh the entire day of the 17th and only eat it on the night going into the 18th. That is in fact the halacha. So when we keep Chodesh, So when we have to keep Chodesh in Chutzlaret, again, according to some poskim universally, whoever, it doesn't matter who grew the grain, and according to the Bach specifically, if it was grown by Jews, then in fact we have to avoid it until the 17th going in, until after the 17th is over, until after Tzeit HaKachavim going into the 18th of Nisan. The Mishnah says, Ha'omer ha'yamatir b'medina. The Omer, once they brought the Omer, then it made mutter to eat Chodesh in the rest of the country, every place else outside of this mikdash. Again, as we talked about before, that may mean that there's a lav up to that point, or it may mean, according to Rav Yechon and Rish Lakish, that there's only an eseh in eating it before that point. The shtei lechem made it mutter to use the new grain for korbanos in the mikdash. Meaning, the Mishnah says, "Ein mevi'in menachos or bikurim or minchas behema." You can't bring menachos or bikurim or minchas nesachim that comes together with an animal that comes together with an animal korban. The different gersa, Rashi instead defined menachos as minchas soita. So Rashi defines, rather, when we say menachos over here, Rashi defines specifically it means minchas soita. Shidduch Rebetzis actually changes that. He says, "Why dafka the minchas soita?" But that one of the Mefoshim, Yoshev HaTov, explains that's why Rashi did that in order to explain why the Mishnah mentioning minchas nesachim separately. So we have to mention minchas nesachim, meaning even the wine with it also can't be brought before the Omer. So now, then, what do you need menachos? So Rashi explains the minchas soita, which comes from barley. Unlike every other mincha, even that can't be brought before the Omer. So you can't bring any of those kodim la'omer before the omer is brought. And if he did possible, then it'll be possible in the oven. Kodim l'shtei lechem la'yavi, but you still shouldn't bring from chodesh for korbanos before the shtei lechem on shavuos. But if he did bring, then the oven is kosher, because once it's mutter for you to eat, then b'dieved you can use it for the bais mikdash as well. L'chatchila, you should wait until the shtei lechem is brought, because the Torah calls them bikurim, but nevertheless, b'dieved, it would be kosher beforehand. So the Gemara brings, Yosef Reb Tarfin Kokashalei. Reb Tarfin was sitting and wondering about the din in our Mishnah, the first din. Mabin kodim loimer l'kodim shtei lechem. Well, the din in general. What's the difference? Mabin kodim loimer l'kodim shtei lechem. What is the difference between before the Omer and before the shtei lechem? Why should it, if you can't even bring b'dieved before the Omer, why b'dieved could you bring before the shtei lechem? And it's lachatchila, you should bring after, and so why shouldn't we say it should be the same lachatchila and the same b'dieved by both of them? Amar l'fanav Yehuda bar Nechemya, so Yehuda bar Nechemya answers him, loy, they're not the same thing. Im amarta kodem la'omer, the difference is you can say before the omer, you can't bring from it at all. It's al hadya, because there's no exception, that grain is also even for an ordinary person to eat. How do you compare with before the Shtei Lachem? After all, even though you can't bring Menachas from it yet, there is an exception to the rule, namely that regular people are able to eat it. Therefore, you have a reason to say that. Even though you shouldn't bring from it at that point before Shavuos, but nevertheless, v'diavad, if you did, it would be kosher. Tosfos wonders that why does Yehuda bar Nechemya have to phrase it that way? The fact is, we learned earlier in the Masechta, that comes up in many places in Shas, that korbanos have to be mimashke Yisrael, from food that is able to be eaten by Jews. So before the Omer you can't eat grain, then automatically you can't bring it as a korban. Why does Yehuda bar Nechemya not mention that point, and how could Reb Taifa not have considered that point? Tosfos says, of course, Reb Taifin knew that point. But he says, though, fine. But nevertheless, we should be able to learn the din of before the Shnei Lachem, learn it by Imam Matzinu from before the Omer. In other words, say, given that before the Omer, it's absolutely also to bring it, and that would be because we mashke Yisrael, then you should argue, even before the Shnei Lachem, granted, at this point, you're allowed to eat it, because we mashke Yisrael doesn't apply anymore, but nevertheless, we should still learn by Imam Matzinu that it would be possible to do it from Chodesh before the Shtei Lachem. So Yehuda bar Nechemya is answering him with his Chutam Miklaloi and Loi Chutam Miklaloi. In other words, there's no reason you should think to compare them, because after all, there is a big difference between something that you're not, there is a big difference between something where nobody can eat versus something where a Hedyot can eat it and only Hektish can. Only the Mizbeach can. So the Gemara says, Shostakum Taifin, Reb Taifin was quiet, and he didn't have an answer to Yehuda bar Nechemya. Sav upon of Shor of Yehuda bar Nechemya. Reb Yehuda bar Nechemya's face lit up, like, look at me, I stumped the great Reb Taifin. Omele Reb Akiva, but Reb Akiva says to him, Yehuda, Sav upon of Shor, Shabte, Zokin, your face lit up because you were able to slog up and stump Reb Taifin. It's not a respectful thing to do. It's Mehani, I would be surprised, Im Tarich Yomim, if you live long. You know, because after all, you know, you have to be careful about the honor of Tamar Chachanus. So what happened? Amar Rabbi Yehuda bar Biloy. So Rabbi Yehuda bar Biloy tells what happened later on. This time was shortly before Pesach, within a couple of weeks before Pesach. So they're actually the same time of year now that we're learning this. So Rabbi Yehuda bar Biloy says, when I came on Aliyah LeRegel for Shavuos, now this is at the Pashtos after the Bismarck. This may have been after the Bismarck was destroyed, but we find that Talmudim would still go and visit the Rebbeim on the Yom Tovim. They also called it Aliyah LeRegel. So when I came for Shavuos, Sha'alti Achrav Yehuda ben Nechemya Heichan Hu, I asked about him, where's Yehuda ben Nechemya? But Omrumi, and they told me Nifter v'Holach L'Avamai, he taka passed away and went to his eternal world, because Rabbi Akiva had told him that you deserve that. Rabbi Akiva had told him, I'll be surprised if you live long, because you were put for towards the And sure enough, that's actually what happened. An interesting point is that it comes out from here that Chaim Kanievsky points out Reb Taifin apparently was not machbid on Yehuda bar Nechemya at all. Yehuda bar Nechemya, he was stumped, but we don't find that he was offended by Reb Yehuda's face lighting up. Reb Akiva points out that it was inappropriate to do that. So what does he deserve to be for such a thing? And we should lose such a common fachan. So he says, Adrab, because he's such a great person, he's likely to. He has a capability of being one of the leaders of the generation. So therefore, so Rabbi Akiva found in him this midah ra, that he's happy of having embarrassed his rebbeim, and a midah like that is very hard to uproot. So he's concerned that he may end up teaching his talmidim that way, and therefore better he should die rather than giving it over to his talmidim. So that's why Rabbi Akiva, even though Rabbi Taifin himself didn't mind, Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky explains that's why Rabbi Akiva minded so much and actually flat out toasted him like that, because he didn't want that a flaw like that should be transmitted to the potential Talmidim that this Yehuda bar Nechemya is going to have. We see also, by the way, that he passed away between Pesach and Shavuos, similar to the way the 24,000 Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva passed away that time of year, because Lenago covered Zebazeh, they didn't show honor to one another. See, here it was the same kind of thing. Yehuda bar Nechemya didn't show the proper respect and deference to Reb Taifin, and therefore also that time of year was a time of Midas Adin, and therefore he passed away. The Gemara says, still though, let's analyze this discussion further. Amar Rav Nachman, so the Divrei Yehuda ben Nechemia, following Rav Yehuda ben Nechemia's logic that once something is mutter to eat, then b'diavad it's kosher as a korban, then we can learn nisachim bikurim. So now, if a person brings nisachim of bikurim as wine. So most bikurim you have to bring as actual fruit, but when it comes to grapes and olives, you are able to bring them as wine or as oil. So then, if a person brings his bikurim as nesachim, if he brings it doesn't mean his bikurim. Sorry, it means that if a person takes wine that was harvested and prepared before the omer, shekrivam koydim la omer, and a person offered them and poured them on the mizbeach before the omer shedim, then they would be kosher b'diavad. Lachatchila, it's supposed to be again that the first korban from this year's crop could be the shteir lechem, but here, like this, where Rav Nachman is saying that if you poured wine on the mizbeach from this year's crop of grapes, then it would be kosher b'diavad. Because again, it's mutter lahadiyah, because after all, only grain is also on the grounds of Kodesh. Wine, grapes and wine are not also on such grounds in the first place. Now, the Chiddush from Yechosim LaRashba explains this is only a point to Yehuda ben Nechemia. A point to Tarifin, he says the whole concept that Chodosh is usur for Korban is a whole new din, nothing to do with the fact of whether it's mutter to a hediyot or not. So he would say it doesn't matter the fact that this wine is mutter to a hediyot, it would still be usur before the Omer. So therefore, that's why Rav Nachman is saying that his din is only according to Yehuda ben Nechemia. And in fact, the Rambam paskens that you can't bring menachas and nesachim from chodosh before the omer. And if you did, they don't even have kedusha. We don't now point to Yehuda ben Nechemia. They would have kedusha. They would be tortured by the Yevin. Especially when it comes to nesachim that are not also in the first place. So in fact, the Tosfos Yom Tov says that also the Rambam holds that Reb Tarfon, given that he argues with Yehuda ben Nechemia, then the Rambam paskens like Reb Tarfon. And then there's different other points that different other Aharonim make as far as different angles of that. Anyway, so the point is, Rav Nachman Yitzchok wants you to know that according to the Yehuda ben Nechemia, it would be kosher b'diavad, because after all, it wasn't usur to a head yet, because there's no issur of chodosh on grapes and on wine. So the Moses Peter, well, isn't that obvious? Yeah, according to the Yehuda ben Nechemia, that's so, because he's saying that the key thing is it usur to head yet or not? The answer is no. No, because maybe the Yehuda ben Nechemia holds that when it comes to menachas from the new grain before the shteir lechem, where it's mutter to a hedyot. So before the omer, it was also to a hedyot, but now it changed status and became mutter. Here there's no heter in the first place, because wine never had an isser of chodosh in the first place. So therefore, we would say that there's no difference in status between before the omer and after the omer, and maybe even after the omer, it should be also to bring such wine as nesachim, and it should be possible to eat. But Hamash Malan, therefore, the Nachman Yitzchok tells you no, kosher can. On the contrary, all the more so, it never became usur in the first place. So therefore, there's no reason, according to Yehuda ben Nechemia, that it should be usur to bring it. There should be any problem with bringing it as nesachim. So fine, lachatchila is still true. The shtei alechem should be the first korban brought from this year's crops. But nevertheless, the d'yevet, it would be mutter, and even actually, and again, even before the omer, actually, even before the omer, even when grain of chodesh is still usur to regular people, but wine is not, and therefore, even though lachatchila, you should wait till after the omer, or even after the shtei alechem, but the d'yevet, you brought it even before the omer, then it would be fine, according to him.